Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, Text 48. Sahajam Karma Kanteya Sadosham Abhinatyajet Stavarambha Hidoshena Dumenagnir Iva Vrita Karma, work. Kunteya, O son of Kunti, sadosham, with fault, api, although, na, never, tyajet, one should give up, sarva arambha, all ventures, he certainly doshena with fault dumena with smoke agni fire eva as arita covered. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work, born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Please repeat, every endeavor is covered by some fault. Just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work, born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Purport. In conditioned life, all work is contaminated by the material modes of nature. Even if one is a brahmana, he has to perform sacrifices in which animal killing is necessary. Similarly, a kshatriya, however pious he may be, has to fight enemies. He cannot avoid it. Similarly, a merchant, however pious he may be, must sometimes hide his profit to stay in business, or he may sometimes have to do business on the black market. These things are necessary. One cannot avoid them. Similarly, even though a man is a shudra serving a bad master, he has to carry out the orders of the master, even though it should not be done. Despite these flaws, one should continue to carry out his prescribed duties, for they are born out of his own nature. A very nice example is given herein. Although fire is pure, still there is smoke. Yet smoke does not make the fire impure. Even though there is smoke in the fire is still considered to be the purest of all elements. If one prefers to give up the work of a kshatriya and take up the occupation of a brahmana, he is not assured that in the occupation of a brahmana there are no unpleasant duties. One may then conclude that in the material world no one can be completely free from the contamination of material nature. This example of fire and smoke is very appropriate in this connection. When in winter time one takes a stone from the fire, sometimes smoke disturbs the eyes and other parts of the body, but still one must make use of the fire despite disturbing conditions. Similarly, one should not give up his natural occupation because there are some disturbing elements. Rather, one should be determined to serve the Supreme Lord by his occupational duty in Krishna consciousness. That is the perfectional point. When a particular type of occupation is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, all the defects in that particular occupation are purified. When the results of work are purified, when connected with devotional service, one becomes perfect in seeing the self within, and that is self-realization. Sahajam karma kunteya sadosham abhinatyajet sarvarambha hidoshena Tumenagnir Ivavritaha. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Generally speaking, people take their external activities as more important than anything else. What they can achieve externally, they take as the purpose of their life. But actually, according to the Vedas, the actual aim of life is to realize oneself, and especially in relation to Krishna, which is accomplished by utilizing the body in Krishna's service, but as explains here, that there's no perfection in the material world. In other words, the material world being made out of material elements, which is a transformation of Brahman, covered with illusion. In other words, material energy is spiritual, but there's the element of illusion. And that element of illusion is manifested in the four different varnas and ashrams. Now, the varnas and ashrams ultimately meant to satisfy Vishnu, Yajnavai Vishnu. And that's the perfection of the varna and ashrams. But still, because it's the material world, no one can do everything perfectly until one becomes to the stage of Krishna consciousness. In the stage of Krishna consciousness, everything is so-called perfect. In other words, when Krishna is present fully in one's consciousness, that's perfection. And therefore, whatever one does is perfect. And up to that point, whatever one does can't be perfect because that's not perfection. Even if one becomes a Brahma, after performing pious activities, perfectly executing the Vanashram for 100 births and becomes a Brahma, still that's not perfection. Only when Brahma becomes a pure devotee is it perfect. So in other words, activities in the material world may help us come to the perfection of becoming Krishna conscious, but in themselves the activities are never perfect. There's nothing we can do in the material world that so by itself would be so-called perfect. But if we add Krishna to it, and as much as we add Krishna to it, then our consciousness becomes purified and we become perfect. As the example used here, Dhamenagnir Vavritaha. So where else in Bhagavad Gita is that example used? Anyone here ever read Bhagavad Gita? Where else is the same exact analogy used in Bhagavad Gita? Well, we got 20 minutes left. Dhamena vriyatai vainir, yatadar shau bulena cha, yatobain avritar garvas, yatate nadam avritam. So what does that mean? Dhamena vriyatai vainir. What does vainir mean? What's that?
Fire.
Say that again.
Fire.
Fire, yes. So what does duma mean? Dim. Well, you're holding your nose or your mouth or something. As the hand covers the mouth or is
the one with the
maybe I'm going deaf or something. What did you say?
The one with the embryo is covered by the one. This one?
That one, yeah.
Oh yeah, and smoke is covered by fire.
Smoke is covered by fire.
And
mirror
is covered by dust.
Yes. So? As the fire is covered by smoke, as the embryo is covered by the womb, or as the mirror is covered by dust, so?
Similarly, the living is covered by material.
By what?
By three modes of material.
Lust.
Lust and greed.
Lust. Just lust. As fire is covered by smoke, as the embryo is covered by womb, or as the mirror is covered by dust, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So as long as we're covered by lust, then our activities are imperfect. Because perfection is to become purified. And the only way you can become completely purified of lust is to become Krishna conscious. So one may be seemingly a perfect Brahman, but actually a perfect Brahman is one who is perfectly in Krishna consciousness. So one can't be perfect in the real sense of the term unless one is perfectly Krishna conscious. Because the material world itself is a mistake. The very material world is a mistake. Just like if you're looking for treasure and you open a door and you fall into a hole. Well, that's a mistake. As long as you're in the hole, you're in a mistake. So the material world is a mistake. So as long as we're in material consciousness, to any degree, everything we're doing is a mistake, to some degree. Even though it may be nearing perfection, but there's some mistake there, just like fire is covered by smoke, or as the embryo is covered by womb, or here it says every occupation is covered by some fault, if it's not perfectly done for Krishna. The whole Vedic literature is meant, as Krishna says, Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasaravit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. What does that mean? Yomam evam asamudo. What does muda, samudo mean?
Super
What's that? That's muda.
Yeah.
Samoha. See? Yomam eva samuda. Samuda. Yeah, you know. This is a little different. Yomam eva samuda. Janati purushottama. Sasaravit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. That this is the most. Without a doubt. See here, muda. Sam means complete. And muda means doubt here, foolishness. In other words, ignorance, foolishness, it all covers us. And therefore we doubt. If we don't, just like, for instance, we may be claiming that we're devotees of Krishna, but we're actually aspiring to become Krishna's devotees, because the devotee of Krishna actually is Krishna conscious. And therefore they're actually devoted to Krishna. But we're learning how to become devoted to Krishna, because we have doubts, because we're covered by the material nature. Just like if the example I've given, if you put a glove on your tongue before the feast, now you may believe it was nice prasadam, you may even compliment the cook, but because you have a glove in your tongue, you can't really taste the food properly, and therefore you can't really say you're enjoying the food until you take the glove off. Because when you become a devotee, you have a few holes in the glove, so a little of the taste gets through. Otherwise, we wouldn't eat prasadam. But we don't fully enjoy the prasadam as long as we're covered by the illusory energy. So, yomam eva asamuda. Samuda means completely doubtful. Asamuda, without a doubt, without any doubt. Yomam eva samuda. Janati Purushottama. One who knows me as the Purushottama is the Supreme Lord, without any doubt. Yomam eva asamuda janati sasarvavit. He said to be the knower of everything. Sasarva bhajantimam, because he worships me. Sarva bhavena bharata, with all his being, with all his being. So therefore, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without any doubt, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatma shastram idam yukva mayanaga etad bhutva buddhivatsat krita kritas javarata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic literature. Whoever knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. In other words, whatever we're doing, if we do it for Krishna, then Krishna will help us remember Krishna. If we actually believe that everything here belongs to Krishna, even theoretically, that this is all Krishna's world, and that we're all his servants, and therefore we do something to try to please him under the guidance of his representatives, then the result is that Krishna will help us remember him. In other words, he'll actually appear to us in our memory to different degrees, according to the degree that we want to please him, which has to be developed, then to that degree Krishna actually becomes pleased and we can feel Krishna's happiness, and then that's pure pleasure. Krishna's happiness is pure pleasure, and when we can feel it, then we're purely in pleasure. In proportion to our ability to experience Krishna's pleasure, to that degree we become happy. So our happiness and Krishna's happiness are completely interdependent. That we can't be happy without experiencing Krishna's happiness, and Krishna can't be happy without trying to make him happy. And therefore every occupation, although however imperfect it may be, is actually meant to make Krishna happy. In other words, in the Veda culture, the Brahmins perform a sacrifice, and the aim of the sacrifice is to follow Krishna's instructions for the pleasure of Krishna. And the Kshatriyas gather the ingredients together for the pleasure of Krishna. The Vaishyas, they protect the cows and provide the ingredients for the sacrifice, all for the pleasure of Krishna. Now, the only thing is that in the material world, generally speaking, one takes birth because one is not purely inclined to please Krishna. That's why we get different bodies. And therefore, generally speaking, even in the Vanashram system, which was only introduced until in Treta Yuga, when people became a little degraded, other than that, people are generally, those who were spiritualists, they were meditating in Satya Yuga on Krishna directly. But Vanashram was introduced when people had some propensity to try to enjoy and control the material world independently of Krishna to help purify that tendency. And as much as become purified, then one does things purely to satisfy Krishna, and therefore anyone in any varna or ashram doing things just to please Krishna in proportion to doing it, they become Krishna conscious, and that's the perfection of that occupation. Not the results. For instance, a Vaishya may get a lot of money, a Kshatriya may get a lot of power, a Brahmin may get a lot of knowledge, but these things are not the end. The end is to utilize all these things in satisfying Krishna, and by doing one becomes Krishna conscious, and that's perfection. Otherwise, it's Shram Eva Kevalam. A Brahmin in this lifetime may be a Shudra in the next one. A Kshatriya may be, who knows? Therefore, however great one may be in this material world, it's only temporary. But however small one may be, if one does things to please Krishna, then the result is eternal. So that's the important factor in any occupation or any ashram, is the desire to please Krishna. And still, even if one is not so much inclined to please Krishna, still Varnashram will purify one, right? Because it's indirectly following Krishna's instructions. indirectly, it's supposed to be assisting the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas in order to perform sacrifice for Vishnu. So it's indirectly aimed at pleasing Krishna, or directly pleasing Krishna, depending how you want to look at it. But devotional service is the most direct way of pleasing Krishna, and gives us an idea that whatever varna or ashram we're in, the essential point is how Krishna is being pleased by following his instructions. So varna can bring us to the point, and ashram, to accept that everything belongs to Krishna, to even and it's following Krishna's instructions, at least externally. But the element of trying to please Krishna is bhakti. That has to be learned from an authority who understands what the purpose of life is. So one may have one's guru for Brahman, or his guru is a Kshatriya, or his guru is a Vaishya, but ultimately the real guru is one who teaches one how to utilize one's occupation or vana and ashram to please Krishna. Then one can actually get the real result, the permanent result of varna and ashram. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes. It doesn't.
I want to ask how we must look at material world, because this is illusion.
This world is material. We look at it as material world because we think it's our world. Or we think it's someone else's world other than Krishna's. That's called material world. And when we look at the material world as everything belongs to Krishna, then it's the spiritual world. As we see everything as an opportunity to serve Krishna, that's the spiritual world. And when we see things as opportunities to serve our senses, that's called the material world.
Everyone is Krishna.
What's that?
Everyone is Krishna.
Everyone is Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy, and Krishna is everywhere, but everything's not Krishna. Krishna is a separate person. So when we see things in relation to Krishna, then we're in Krishna consciousness. And when we want to utilize things for Krishna's service, that's even deeper Krishna consciousness. And when we're actually aware of Krishna, we can experience his presence. That means we're reaching the perfection of Krishna consciousness. One who sees me everything and everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. The true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everything, everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Yes?
How can we know that Krishna has been pleased?
You can ask him. If you don't get an answer, how do you know? How do you know if you've eaten a meal?
Yes, I'm not hungry anymore.
And anything else?
Yes, it's
fine. Okay, anything else?
Happy.
What's your what?
Happy or not? I've been pleased.
You get strength, hopefully. So, yes. Bhakti Parashanu Vyaktir Ainyatra Trika Eka Kala Praparama Nasya Yatashya Tas Tushti Pushti Shudapaya Nugasa. Now when one eats a meal, he gets experience of satisfaction, alleviation of hunger, and growing strength. So by properly performing bhakti yoga, one becomes detached from things that draw one's mind away from Krishna. And at the same time, one gets growing experience of how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. And finally, one feels love for everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. That means that Krishna is satisfied. Anything else? Okay. Kala Krantaraj Bhagavad Gita Kijai.